SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Taking over. Let's go. It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks. You and I are going to make a lot of money. It's Pharrell. Coast to coast. All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. We bring in Brian Ciano, a.k.a. Mafia, to talk about the fights from this weekend. Obviously, Fight Island and Pharrell Adabe. And then, of course, in Vegas, the Lopez win over Lomachenko. And I was so stoked to hit that bet at plus 330. That was one of my favorite bets. I sold you Lopez on this show on Friday all week. I told you. He's a bad mother Pharreller, I got to tell you. We'll talk about that in a minute, though. Mafia, let's start with Ortega's win over the Korean Zombie. That elbow, spinning elbow to the head was beautiful.
Yeah, that was a great fight for him, a great spinning elbow. He had a couple good rounds in there, especially the first two rounds where Korean Zombie kept coming forward, and he let him attack, and then, boom, caught him twice, put him on his butt, even jumped on him in a takedown the second round, and he controlled that fight for the most part. Even though Korean Zombie was coming forward, he did exactly what he wanted to do, countering. You know, racked up all the strikes that he wanted to. It was an incredible fight for Ortega. Great performance by him after being out of the cage for 2 years between the recovering from his fight against Holloway and then the knee injury. He looked great coming back, and he's going to get a title shot now. We'll see how that happens against Volkanovski. It's going to be interesting with two guys that like to counter to see who comes forward and who pushes the action.
So Andrade, she looked really good, but where does she matter in all of this?
Well, now she's in a new weight division, so this will be something that'll get her, you know, more towards the top again. This is her, you know, her first win in this new division. She's going to be the first woman in the UFC history to have three wins in three different divisions. So she's fought in all three, has gotten wins in each, and looked great against Chukagian. You know, she was coming out of the clinch with Chukagian, caught her with a body shot that had Chukagian, like, backtracking and grabbing her gut there. I don't know if it took the wind out of her or if it was a liver shot or what that got her so shook. But then she came at her, hit her again with another body shot, got her on the ground, punished her in the finish there. So did her job, came out aggressive and got the win there. Now it's a new division. Hopefully she can, you know, start to climb back towards the top, because she was still going to be up at the top where she was before, but she lost to Nama Yunus, who was going to get the title shot. So she was kind of sitting there in limbo, decided to drop again. And now she's going to try to make her name in another division and bring her power there. Even though she was a little undersized in that fight, as far as height-wise, she'll be good against the other girls, and she's going to try to make a name for herself in a different division and get a belt chance again.
How'd you do in betting with the UFC on Saturday?
We split that one. We had the Zombie winning that fight, so that didn't work out for us, but we had Andrade, so that worked out well in her performance, so decent night there.
All right, so let's talk about the big fight this week. Obviously, Khabib against Gaethje, and this is the one we've all been waiting for in reality, and Saturday night we're going to find out who means business.
Yeah, this is a good card too. You got a couple of good fights here. You got also Robert Whittaker fighting Cannonier, so whoever wins that's going to be the one who gets the next shot at Adesanya in that division. So that's going to be the co-main event, but the main event, like you said, Gaethje and Khabib. Been waiting for this one for a while, of course. Gaethje put on incredible performance against Tony Ferguson to get his interim belt there, get a shot there against Khabib. And this is what we've been waiting for. It's been a couple months, and now we'll see how this goes. We're waiting for Khabib. First, you know, you had Ramadan, then you had, you know, COVID, then you had his father's passing. So we've been waiting for him to get back in the cage for a while here since that great performance we took against Poirier in Abu Dhabi last year. Now he's back. He's ready to go, and we'll see what he has against Gaethje here. See if he goes the same style, which he probably will, because no one's stopped him so far. So the key is going to be Gaethje. Does he have any takedown defense? And it's not just stopping one, it's stopping everyone, because you can stop 9 out of 10. It's that 10th one that he gets you down when he keeps coming at you and puts you on your back. That's the most brutal for every guy, because if he gets you down, he is not letting you back up. So you have to stop every takedown somehow and still punish him in the process. And that's been something most guys have not been able to accomplish.
All right, so we welcome in all of our radio affiliates, Sports Grid Radio Overnights, Pharrell on the Bench, Sports Rage, and Bagels and Bad Beats. Get the Sports Grid Radio app. Go to sportsgridradio.com for everything concerning the network. You'll love it. Go on our YouTube page. Subscribe free. You can watch us do the shows. I'll see you tonight on Pharrell and a Bench, 10 p.m. East, 7 West. We're also on the Great Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Very exciting things happening with Sports Grid Radio nationally and more to come. Let me ask you, Mafia. I thought the Lopez fight was unbelievable. I thought Teofimo Lopez earned that win. I thought he killed him in the first six, seven rounds, and I thought he destroyed him in the 12th round, the money rounds. I thought, you know, Loma won 10 and 11, but not 12.
No, he did not. Like you said, you always say the one that matters the most is the championship round. Those last couple rounds are the ones that matter the most, and that's what really, for me, differentiated who won this fight. You know, it was a little different, obviously, by the judging scorecards, which I thought were terrible as far as how they had it, a little, you know, a bigger gap. I thought it was all Lopez through the first six and maybe even, you know, the seventh. You might have gotten Lomo the second round because he got him a couple lefts there to kind of shake him. But it was pretty much 6-1 going into the eighth in my card. Andre Ward had the seventh, of course, going to Lomachenko, but that's different. Then he just sweeps him there from 8 through 11. He's just dominating him. You're thinking he might even get the knockout against Lopez, and that was coming to this last round for me. That was going to be the winner take all. Like, if Lomachenko won that, you get a draw. If, you know, it's a situation where Lopez wins it, he gets the belts, and he came out on fire. He just dominated that 12th round. He came out just as aggressively as he did in the beginning rounds. You thought he had nothing left in the gas tank. All of a sudden, he came out with a second win there, just beating down Lomachenko, chasing him, scaring him, you know, making you think now Lopez might get the knockout. It was an incredible performance by the young kid there against this veteran who so many people fear. He did everything he needed to do. He came out aggressive. I don't know what happened to Lomachenko in those first six, seven rounds where he basically did nothing. He threw like 11 punches through the first seven rounds. I don't know what the hell his game plan was that first half of the fight. You got it going later on. If you start early, you might have a chance. But Lopez took it to him, and a great performance by that kid.
I'll tell you, they're already talking about today his plans, Lopez, moving forward. And Aram mentioned that it's not out of the realm of possibility that he would fight Lomachenko again. And I'm telling you, you cannot fight that guy again right now. That's not a good idea. Stay away from him. You've already got all the belts. Go somewhere else.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell, back on Coast to Coast. The best reaction today was Adam Kaplan's reaction when he saw Carver High's Bills jacket that he's rocking. What did you think of that, Adam?
Kind of shocked. I you know, it was a little bit blue, but yeah, it is. He is celebrating their big game tonight, Monday night at 5 Eastern, they're playing. So a rare Monday night game for the Bills, who clearly have improved the last couple of years. If you're a Bills fan, you're loving this because they are a bona fide playoff team with Sean McDermott, the head coach, and Brandon being the GM. They've done a phenomenal job of turning this franchise around for not making the playoffs for 20 years, but they clearly are one of the elite teams in the AFC.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, I wanted to start with today some of the problems that the Patriots are having. All of a sudden, for the first time in October since – I think around 18 years ago is the last time they had a losing record that they're under 500. It's crazy. They've lost two in a row, three of four, and they have the Niners this week. What did you think of the Broncos' win in Foxborough in the sunshine yesterday?
Yeah, and Pharrell, they almost blew the game, but I give them credit. Their offense was able to move the ball, but they only got six field goals. That's not going to get it done most weeks. You know, talk to people around the league who've watched the Patriots. There's something off with their offense. And I probed somebody after I saw kind of what we would be talking about today. I said, look, I asked somebody in scouting. I said, give me an idea of what you've seen from them. Lack of explosiveness on the outside. Lack of high-end pass targets at tight end with Rob Gronkowski obviously moving on. He's now in Tampa with Brady. Their offensive line is not the same offensive line that we're used to. Three starters are out. That has an impact on the performance of Cam Newton. I know Newton didn't play well yesterday. There's no excusing it. He didn't play well. And the other thing is they've had some opt-outs and some guys not playing on defense. They had two opt-outs on defense that we know of. Patrick Chung and Hightower at linebacker. So they're not the same team. That is why Carver High's Buffalo Bills are the best team in the AFC East. I don't think it's even close. You know, every year, everyone writes off Farrell, the Patriots, and I say, no, Brady and Belichick will get it done. But there's no Brady this time around, and there's also a lot of missing players. They are clearly not the same football team.
What do you think of the Broncos? They've suddenly won a couple games in a row, and they have a huge game this week in Denver with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think when you look at Denver, despite their injuries on defense, we know the Von Miller loss is absolutely huge. You're not going to overcome that. But Bradley Chubb has gotten healthier off his ACL reconstruction. And how about this Malik Reed came out of nowhere, an undrafted free agent last year, had the game of his life. It was a big reason why Denver was able to upset the Patriots. Now Drew Lock is back. Yeah, he's got this right shoulder. It's a little bit iffy, but he did play in that game. They're hopeful they're going to get K.J. Hamler, their second-round pick, back this week from his hamstring strain that goes back to training camp in mid-August. So that's not a good thing. Remember, they lost Cortland Sutton, their star receiver for the season. But they've got enough in there on offense. They should get Melvin Gordon back this week. He got sick late last week. He should be available. You get him back. Noah Fant at tight end. They're not going to make the playoffs. I know there are seven teams in each conference. They're not good enough to make the playoffs. But here's what they are. They are competitive. They've shown that they can win on the road. They've actually, those two wins you talk about, both are on the road. You could talk about the Patriots are the best team in the world, but it's still a road win. They hammered the Jets a couple weeks ago. So, and remember, their schedule was disrupted by the rescheduling. So I got to give Vic Fangio credit. The no-nonsense head coach has done a good job of turning things around there. And I think they have, by the way, I think Farrell, they have their quarterback of the future, Drew Lock. These kids could sling it. They just need to get him more help.
I'll tell you what, they gave the Steelers problems at Heinz as well, covered in that game, and the Steelers messed around with them. We'll talk about them and the Browns in a little bit. Let's talk about, because the Steelers are playing at Smashville this week against the Titans, so I wanted to talk about the Titans game with you and that comeback against the Texans yesterday. They had no business winning that game after, like, the Texans took over the game, but there were some decisions made by Crennel that I think cost them. What'd you think of the Titans winning overtime?
Yeah, look, Coach Crennel, who's the interim head coach now because of the Bill O'Brien firing, made a controversial decision. He wanted to put the game away to give them a 9-point lead. That was a mistake. Some people have argued that you got to gamble sometimes when you know you're the underdog on the road. I understand that. But anyway, I give the Titans credit. But here's the problem, though. Yeah, they're 5-0, and they've been better than I expected. I did pick them to win the AFC South, but they lose Taylor Rewan, their left tackle for the season. Talking to them this afternoon, Jonnu Smith, their starting tight end, he does not have a high ankle sprain, I'm told. It's just a normal ankle sprain. They will not know whether they're going to have him or not, probably until Thursday. They want to see if he's able to work on Wednesday. But Jonnu Smith is a very good tight end. But how about Anthony Firkser, a third-year tight end out of Harvard who came out of nowhere yesterday, filling in for Smith after he hurt his ankle and had a breakout game. He was incredible. He was really the difference maker. Oh, by the way, they're getting back their outside receiver Davis back for this week. He just came off the COVID list. So they only have one now player. By the way, they only have one player now on the COVID list. Just one player, and that's a good thing. So they're going to come in a little bit banged up against your Steelers, who, I got to tell you, they did put it to the Browns, as I told you was going to happen last Friday. They did a phenomenal job, but give the Titans credit. Hey, they're finding a way to win, and this builds character. They are unbelievably mentally tough there in Nashville.
How about Henry's game? 212 yards, a couple of touchdowns, the overtime winner, and the 94-yarder with the whole team chasing him down the sideline. That this guy just is so unbelievable what he's done these last season and into this first half of the season.
Yeah, and with all the volume that you're talking about, he does stay relatively healthy. They're trying to work in a couple backs in back of them, but here's their bell cow. But the one thing I do want to mention when you talk about the Titans in the run game, it all works for Ryan Tannehill because he's having a breakout season. People scoffed at the contract the Titans gave him, but he's been well worth it. He's been durable. He's never even played close to this well. He is averaging basically 3 touchdown passes per game. This is incredible. And he takes advantage of having that great run back because if you're going to stop Henry, they're going to get one-on-one coverage on the outside, and they're getting with A.J. Brown, Jonnu Smith, and I'll tell you what, man, this team is for real, but the loss of Taylor on the left tackle is a problem. I'm told that but looking at two or three players on the roster to potentially replace him. But no one's going to be nearly good as Taylor DeJuan.
We're going to see that problem rear its ugly head this week when the Steelers run right through that hole. Because without Lewan, I think it's going to be an issue. What did you think of the Browns coming back to reality in Pittsburgh yesterday? You talked about on Friday that the Steelers are going to blow them out. It was a great call yesterday in the middle of the game. Somebody reached out to me, their Carver Hire, I think it was Mafia, and he's like, Adam's all over this game because they did blow him out. They kicked their ass.
I think what happens for us is this. Young teams that are not expected to do well, at some point, they're going to be who they really are. This is an 8-8, 9-7 team. That's really what they are on paper. I thought they'd be 8-8. The reality is Baker Mayfield has not played very well. Their run game starts with Nick Chubb. Unfortunately, he has a significant MCL sprain. He's probably going to miss at least a couple more weeks. Kareem Hunt's a good football player, but Chubb is a better football player. Their whole run game is their offense. Unlike in Tennessee, they have a pass game and a run game. This is the problem right now, and the reason why that they're probably not going to make the playoffs, even as the seventh wild card, or the extra wild card, the seventh team in the AFC. I just don't think they're ready, but they've been a fun team to watch. But again, if the run game's not going well, they really have no chance.
Do you think, respectfully, I got 60 seconds, do you think that when Schuster's deal is up, that they're going to let him walk and make Claypool the number one?
Very realistic possibility. You've seen this. You follow your Steelers. Kevin Colbert, the GM, has been able to walk away from players like Emmanuel Sanders, who's still doing great. Now for the Saints, they've been willing to walk away from players over the years just because it's sort of like the factory for developing wide receivers. You're seeing with Deontay Johnson, though, he's hurt. He's been terrific. Chase Claypool is that guy who's going to play on the outside. James Washington, good football player. He's gotten off to a good start. This is this football team, the Steelers. No one is better at developing wide receivers than this team year after year, year after year. Look, Martavis Bryant, you remember him? If he could have stayed out of trouble, he'd still be a Steeler right now. So they do a great job. And realistically, Juju probably will walk. And this is, as you said, his last year of his rookie deal.
How about Devin Bush's ACL? I got 15 seconds on that.
Too bad. Yeah, it's devastating. And they knew it immediately, by the way. They gave him testing right on the sideline. They gave him that Lachman test. They knew it was an ACL, and that's it. He's done for the season. That will hurt them. That will absolutely hurt him. Remember, he was taking over for the great Ryan Shazier. So that's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, I saw him grab his knee right when he went down by the sideline. I knew it was hurt.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, I'm not watching that little Skins game. I'm not doing it. I'm not watching that terrible. What do I care about any of their pathetic looking? Charles Barkley shoots a buck 20, and I'm going to watch him all the day after Thanksgiving all day. I'm going to sit around and get fat watching that guy play golf. I'll go play golf and do better with one arm tied behind my back. Yes. All right, let's go back.
I've watched golf. It's not pretty.
All right. So real quick, Cam, who do you like in Arizona and Dallas tonight? Oh, I lost him. There you go. All right. So that's my fault. All right. Adam Kaplan's back with us. Let's talk about the Eagles and Ravens. I just saw Mark Ingram also injured his ankle in that game, but I think they have a bye. So he's going to be back week 8. He'll be okay. But it's the Eagles I'm concerned about. Adam, they once again, valiant effort to come back, the backdoor cover, but that's not what they're worried about. What they're worried about is more losses, more abuse from the media. They had fans fighting in the stands. They got a lot of injuries, too.
They do. They have either 12 players who are out this week or on injured reserve, and 8 are on offense, 4 on defense. Right now, they're down 4 offensive linemen. Their starting running back, Miles Sanders, won't play this week. They don't know exactly when he's going to come back, but it's not a serious injury. That's the only good part about it. Zach Ertz is week to week. Their starting tight end, who's got off to a slow start. They're without both starting guards, their left tackle, their right tackle. Malik Jackson, their third tackle, is not going to play this week with a quadriceps injury. 2 of their top 4 linebackers are out. Their starting outside linebacker, Vontae Maddox, probably will not play this week. He's very questionable to doubtful. It's hard to imagine them continuing to have injury issues like this. They're running out of football players. I mean, they played a guy, Brett Toth, right? They claimed him off waivers last week. He'd never played in an NFL game before. He played at Army. He had to play right tackle yesterday in the middle of the game. This is how bad it is for this football team. They're very lucky. The Giants will take that drive up 95 to Philly for Thursday. The Giants obviously are not a very good football team. They just had their first win. But I got to give Carson Wentz credit for all. He played a phenomenal football game. Got absolutely knocked to his butt 10 times in that game at least. But stood up there and played a great game. And as you said, it was very valiant. Almost brought him back to a win there. I give them credit. They fight hard for their head coach, Doug Peterson. But they are a very disappointing 1-4-1 this week. But they play the 1-5 Giants, who are not a very good football team. But I'll tell you what, though. We've talked about DeSean Jackson every week. It was his decision not to play. The Eagles thought as of last Thursday, I'm told, that he'd play. He felt his hamstring was tightening up, wasn't ready to go. Well, once again, they still think he'll play this week. We'll see if he actually dresses.
Same thing with Alshon Jeffrey, still after the foot surgery, questionable to play. Yeah. I guess my question is this. With all those injuries and with all that patchwork line and everything else you're talking about, the Giants actually, I don't think they're as awful as they're 1-5. I think they got issues. Don't get me wrong, but they are healthy. Their receivers are healthy. Jones is healthy. They move the ball. They score. They look a lot better the last couple weeks than they have in the first, 4 weeks. And with all of the Eagles' problems, you're telling me you don't think the Giants have a shot in that game the way the Eagles look?
No, they do. No, they do. But the one thing that the Eagles have going for them is their D-line is one of the best in the National Football League. Well, they're playing one of the worst offensive lines with the Giants. That would concern me if I were a Giants fan, because the one thing Eagles could do is bring pressure. They did a good job against Lamar Jackson. Jackson had two really big runs. One was a touchdown on Sunday. That broke the Eagles' backs. But to be honest with you, the Eagles should be able to win this game. Daniel Jones has not played as well as they thought he would play. Part of it is their offensive line. And let's face it, when you lose one of the best running backs, particularly young running backs in the National Football League, and Saquon Barkley, they're not the same offense. Darius Slayton's having a breakout season at number 86 at wide receiver, but they're not getting enough from Evan Engram, their tight end, who's really has not been the player they thought he would be. Now, he's been hurt a lot, but this is a tight game on Thursday. I would agree with you. They're competitive, the Giants, but the Eagles have a ton of heart there, and they're clearly the better football team right now. The Giants simply are not good enough, I think, to go into Philly and win, but you know what? Home field is not the same home field without a full stadium there. They had less than 7,000 people there because of the rules. And by the way, Thursday night, weather, low 70s in Philly. This is the kind of weather we're getting back here right now.
So how do you let 7,500 fans into the stadium and they still have fist fights breaking out? I mean, it's unbelievable. They are the most notorious fans in all of sports.
You never know. Even with masks on, masks off, things are going to happen. Believe me, I've lived it. I've seen it. Remember, I go back to Veterans Stadium, 700 level, which is way up top. I've been a bunch of stadiums. They're the rowdiest fans of the National Football League, but they are incredibly supportive, and they will let the team know, as Doug Peterson said, he definitely heard himself get booed. Believe it or not, those boos might have been a smattering, but you could hear it at halftime.
So let's talk about the Vikings' problems.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. Their problem for all is this. Their defense has been horrendous. It's hard to imagine a Mike Zimmer defense and horrendous in the same sentence, but they are. The pass rush is bad. Remember, Danielle Hunter, their star DN, is out. They're not even sure if he's going to play again this season with a neck injury. And Ngakoue has not been the player that they thought they were trading for yet. He needs help on the other side. Their secondary has been atrocious. They've had either one or two starters out each week in the secondary corner. They have coverage issues. They have pass rush issues. Dalvin Cook has his groin injury. That's a problem. They're a bad football team. Their offensive line has not played great. Kirk Cousins is trying to do what he can at quarterback. But they're one of the most disappointing teams. If you and I put together who are our most disappointing teams, they're in my top three. They've been really, really bad. And, Mike Zimmer got that contract extension in the offseason. I'm sure he's probably pretty glad he got it, because this thing is looking bad. This thing could go off the rails this season. They're a bad football team. They can score, though. I'll tell you what, though. If you're a Viking fan, the one thing you can hang your hat on is Justin Jefferson, their rookie wide receiver, their first-round pick, is over 500 yards, well over 500 yards receiving so far. He's been a bright light for a bad football team.
Yeah, no doubt. Travis Kelce just scored a touchdown. I'm sure they'll review it. But the Chiefs, if it stands, will go up if they can kick the extra point, 7-3. Buffalo led 3-0. By the way, Mitchell Schwartz walked into the locker room with a back problem in this game in Buffalo already. They're playing in the drizzle and rain and shuffle off to Buffalo. They're underway. Kelce definitely looks like he got in. We'll see. You never know. His knee might have been down. It takes forever now to see if someone scores a touchdown. Dolphins look pretty good, Adam. And not only that, we got to see Tua late in the game.
Yeah. Look, whoever knew that the Dolphins would be doing so well that they're actually able to take Ryan Fitzpatrick out of the game and they got Tua in there. Yeah, it was good to see him. Tua was pretty emotional after the game. It was kind of a cool scene. But look, they beat a very bad Jet team who got shut out. The Jets are an absolute embarrassment. I mean, they have no offense. Their defense is trying to do what it can, but they have no pass rush. We knew coming into the season that the Jets were a project team. This is a three-year job for Joe Douglas, your general manager, to change over this roster to get it competitive, highly competitive again. It's going to be hard. As you and I have talked about, they don't even know if Sam Darnold's going to be the quarterback next year. They're going to have to make that decision for this draft coming up. It's almost certain they're going to have the first pick overall. As bad as the Jaguars are, okay, and they're six or seven really bad football teams, the Jets are on their own Revis Island. They're on their Jets Island. They're terrible. And they're going to have the first overall pick. You know, look, they need defensive help in the worst way. They also don't have very good defensive players either. They just need a complete rebuild. You've seen the job that the Bills have done with Brandon being their GM and Sean McDermott. They came into a terrible situation. They turned it around in 3 years. If you're a Jet fan, folks, sit back, watch Joe Douglas do the draft. He actually had a good draft this year. He's going to have to do it again, and that's the only way they're going to turn around is through the draft. Joe Douglas is not a guy who's going to heavily participate in free agency. That is what I'm told. He is not a guy that wants to build it that way. He wants to build it through the draft.
You're telling me that do you think that guy would actually draft defense over Trevor Lawrence, even though they have
No. But what I'm saying is they're going to have the first pick overall, and that's the guy. But it's not like a new quarterback who's an upgrade over Sam Darnold is going to cure all ills. They've got more needed help on the offensive line. They're not great at wide receiver. They're certainly not good enough at running back. They have no pass rush. They need three pass rushers, not one, not two, but three. And they need new corners. Oh, by the way, they could probably need a new safety. Remember, they traded Jamal Adams. Other than that, Terrell, how are you today?
Other than that, they're great. Jimmy G lit up the Rams last night. Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was. Now, here's the issue with Jimmy G. You don't know because last week he got pulled out of the game due to his high ankle sprain. Plus, they also got blown out. He looked good. Their defense, though, here's why they won. Their defense, which got absolutely embarrassed and torched in the secondary the week before by those Dolphins in Santa Clara at home, they handled the Ram passing game. Why? They got Emmanuel Mosley back. Sure, they don't have Richard Sherman. They don't have their nickel corner in Kwan Williams, but they had two good corners. Jason Verrett, the former first-round pick of the Chargers, who played great for them, and Emmanuel Mosley. They were really only two deep in the corner, but those guys played great, and they got a pass rush from Goff. I give them credit. That might be the turnaround story this game for the Niners here. Keep an eye on them because they could push for that final wild card spot. They're not going to push the Seahawks, that division, but they absolutely could push for that seventh spot, that second wild card spot. Actually, that third wild card spot in the NFC.
I got 20 seconds. Tell me what you think of Arizona and the Cowboys tonight.
Like the Cowboys, I know their defense has been an embarrassment, but they're going to get Leighton Vander Esch back tonight, their star middle linebacker. Their pass rush has been great. They don't tackle very well. They don't cover very well. But I believe Andy Dalton will get the job done tonight in what should be a very high-scoring game in Big D tonight.
Yeah, it should be intense. I want to see Hopkins and Murray see how they do. The touchdown stood by Kelce. The extra point good. 7-3 Kansas City. See you on Thursday, Adam. Great stuff. Adam Kaplan, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast, Carver High. I know we got a lot of Pain Day NFL audio. It's important that we get in all the players here before we get out of here.
It's always important, Scotty. Let's start with the Titans and the Texans yesterday. Monster day for Derrick Henry, as you mentioned earlier. 200-plus yards on the ground. He had the overtime winner. He also, Scotty, had this 94-yard touchdown. Here it is on CBS.
5-yard line. Henry breaking free, 20, 25, off to the races. They may not catch him. They won't catch him. Touchdown, Tennessee.
I mean, that was unbelievable watching that guy. He's like a freight train. And then to see him kick it into sixth gear when he was out chasing, running with these speedy corners and safeties. Are you kidding me? This guy is so unbelievable. I mean, I think he's the entire team. Now, I like Brown. I like Tannehill. But, I mean, Henry is definitely the straw that stirs the drink.
No doubt about it. The Broncos with a big win up at Foxborough over the Patriots. Of course, those two teams had to wait another week. They were supposed to play last week. COVID situation. Vic Fangio, proud of his team, Scotty. Very happy with how the Broncos showed up against the Patriots. Here's Vic.
I don't think there's any doubt you have to learn how to win, but that's a three-phase operation that has to do that. You know, we've got to do better in the fourth quarter there, you know, close that out. But, hey, sometimes it's going to happen that way. You know, sometimes the offense is going to struggle and defense is going to have to continue to go back out there and finish the game. Sometimes you're going to get in the shootout and it gets to where the team that has the ball last has the chance to win the game, and that's might have to be us someday. So hopefully we can learn from this. You know, that's two games we won on the road, you know, that were tight games. And hey, I'm proud of the guys.
Listen, you got to give the guy credit. No Von Miller. I don't think they have anything on that team, and they're in just about every game they play. They play tough defense even without their captain. And then I like this quarterback of theirs, Locke. I mean, it's like I said, they play hard. They're in every game. They've won on the road, two on the road, gave the Steelers problems on the road. I think he's doing a really good job in Denver. People may not agree with that in the Mile High City, but what did you expect with this team of, frankly, nobodies, and then you lose your star player again? I think they have come a long way with nothing.
The Packers went into Tampa Bay yesterday, Scotty, an undefeated team. They got an absolute beatdown, 38-10. The Bucs defense was unbelievable. Gronk had his first really big game as a Buccaneer. Here, Scotty, is Aaron Rodgers. He says maybe the Packers needed to be humbled a little bit like they were by the Bucs. Here's A-Rod.
Look, you don't ever want to lose like this. I feel like we needed a little bit of a wake-up call at some point this season because things have been so good. And there's been so much talk maybe outside the building about the ease with which we're, you know, moving the ball on offense and scoring. And, you know, I think we need a kind of a kick in the ass a little bit as a little bit of a wake up to, you know, stop feeling ourselves so much and get back to the things that got us this position. And I think this would be, unfortunately, but fortunately, something we can really, really grow from.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I couldn't believe it. They're up 10, and then they never scored again. And they did not look like the team that we've seen, you know, the previous week. So now I question, frankly, if they can even win this week. I don't even like them this week coming up. I think a lot of people think that the Packers just always win and that we're expecting them to win every single week. I mean, they didn't look good at all to me, and now all of a sudden they're going to go turn it right around and start winning again. I'm not sure I'm buying that. They might very well drop a couple.
Yeah, the Packers right now, Scotty, early in the week, a road favorite at Houston against the Texans. We'll talk about that one as the week goes on. The Eagles lose to Baltimore at home 30-28. Had a chance to tie it with a late two-point conversion, a furious fourth quarter rally, but they do not get it done. They will now play the Giants on Thursday night. They are 1-4-1, Scotty. Here is head coach Doug Peterson talking about the record and the loss.
As the head coach, I can stand here, and I'm proud of those guys in the locker room. And I know they're going to get beat down this week, and that's your job. But my job is to encourage them and say, hey, you know, and I get it. There are no moral victories in the NFL. There's no moral victories at all. And we're all graded on wins and losses. But for this team to hang together on the sideline, to not point fingers, to battle, to be in this position with all the mistakes that were made in the first half, really offensively, and then we missed the kick, you know, the field goal at the end of the half. I mean, those are the difference in games. And those are things that we're going to learn from and we're going to get better from.
Yeah, you know, they're supposed to be so good and everything else. But when we were talking earlier about with Adam Kaplan about disappointing teams, I'd have to put them in that mix because they just haven't got it done. I'm not that surprised that the Falcons are 1-5. I am surprised the Vikings are 1-5. I'll give you that. But, you know, the Chargers, I think they're really good. And then they're sitting there 1-4, and they had a bye, but they could have won all of those games. And then no one else that I'm really that surprised about being bad. So if you were talking to me about the biggest surprises, Philadelphia would be one of them, that they're sitting where they are. It doesn't matter what you say about them coming back or backdooring or covering or anything else. Flat out, they stink. Their record stinks. And they're in nothing but hot water right now.
The Steelers are undefeated. They have a big matchup with the Titans coming up next week. Scotty, yesterday they dismantled the Cleveland Browns 38-7. It got so bad, Stefanski had to take Baker Mayfield out of the game. He did not want him to take any more hits. Here is Big Ben Roethlisberger saying, "I'm glad I don't have to face my tremendous defense." Here's Big Ben.
They're fun. They're special. They're obviously getting turnovers. They're scoring. And there were a handful of times, like, I don't know the stats, but there were a couple times a day that it was either third short or fourth and short. And you just felt like they were going to stop them. I mean, you know, sometimes you're just like, okay, you know, hope they get a stop here or whatever. You just felt, it feels different sometimes with our defense because they're aggressive. They get after it. They made plays in the back end today. And I said after the game, I'm glad I don't have to play them on Sundays.
I mean, seriously, you can talk all you want about all these other teams. I know everyone's just the Ravens and the Chiefs, and that's all that matters. That's the flavor of the year. But I think the Steelers can beat the Ravens. I think the Steelers have a quarterback that's unbelievable that actually can throw the football. So I think he's better. And I do, as a quarterback. I mean, I think Lamar Jackson, to me, is a running back. I mean, I know everyone thinks he's this great quarterback. It's because when he runs – he's great. When he throws it, I think he stinks. And I'll tell you another thing. The Steelers' defense is better than the Ravens' defense, without a doubt. And the Steelers have a mix right now of quarterback, receivers, running backs, and defense that could literally, you can say whatever you want, you can laugh at me all you want, they're good enough to go to the Super Bowl. That team is no joke. They can beat anybody. They can play anyone, anywhere, and beat them.
Was a rough day for Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings at home going into the bye. They had the winless Falcons in their building, and what an awful performance, Scotty, from Kirk Cousins. And he says, "I just got to stop throwing interceptions." Here's Kirk.
Gee, you think?
Yeah, it's it. You know, I need to correct it. You know, I need to finish the season with a different story. You know, regarding the interceptions. So that's something that I need to improve with the remaining games we have. I don't know that I'd limit to the interceptions. I think it's just the entire, you know, offensive performance. We just need, you know, I need to be better. We need to be better.
Actually, you're awful, and you are a thief, and you make way too much money. I mean, that guy, to me, he's making well over $30 million. I think that guy is worth $3 million at best. He is a hack backup quarterback. I don't care what anybody says. He's won one playoff game. I'm sick and tired of hearing about Kirk Cousins. He sucks. And I'll tell you what, betting against him, all you do is make money. Just go and bet against him and make money all day because he's awful. I don't care what anybody says. And his season's over. Okay, so let's talk about the rest of the way. I've got a lot to work on. The only thing he's saying is they pay me so much G-damn money, I got to do something besides throw interceptions every week because they sure don't win. And he has stunk it up in Minnesota. I don't care what anybody says.
Let's go to the Giants now, Scotty. A real barn burner at MetLife yesterday. Washington scored a late touchdown. Ron Rivera, Riverboat Ron, goes for the two and the win. I like the decision by Ron. He did not get it, though. And the Giants win 20-19. Here, Scotty, head coach Joe Judge, congratulations to him. His first win as an NFL coach. Here's Judge.
I don't know the exact word to describe it right there, Jordan. To be honest with you, not just trying to deflect things, I try not to, you know, make things internal. So, you know, when the players lose, you know, I feel bad for the players. When they win, I'm happy for the players. You know, when something goes wrong, you know, our first reaction is, what did I screw up? What could I have done better to help put this guy in a position to have success? You know, so you're kind of happy when you get the results that you want, that, you know, maybe you didn't do too many things to hurt the players. You gave them an opportunity to go out there, play, and win the game, which they did today. You know, look, I'll kind of sit back someday far in the future and think about internal things. I don't think it's any close to time right now for that. You know, it was one game, and we got another one coming up shortly.
Oh, God, how lame is this guy? I mean, honestly, dude, just be happy for 5 minutes that you won a game. You can't even do that. He's like trying to be Bill Belichick so bad. It's not even funny. It's so obvious. And let me tell you something. I think they're better than anybody else. I thought they turned the corner in Dallas, that game that they lost. And I thought they looked pretty decent yesterday, except for letting the, you know, Washington team get back into it late and almost beat them. They should have won that game by a touchdown. That's all there is to it. I thought they dominated the game from my end of things. And I think they're going to give Philadelphia a game. I think they're tougher than everybody thinks they are. I think the coach needs to loosen up a little bit, but I don't think that's going to happen either.
And looks like a touchdown for the Bills, Scotty. Stephon Diggs in the end zone here. See 9-7 on the board. So Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs. I know I'm a little behind you. I don't think they took it off.
That's a touchdown.
Looking at it. That is a touchdown. He's right by the – ooh, great catch by Diggs. He gets both feet in. So the Bills will go up on the Chiefs here. One more for you, Scotty. Kyle Shanahan, how about the 49ers last night? 24-16. They get off the deck after an awful loss at home to the Dolphins. Here he is, proud of his team as well.
I think we always have a pretty big sense of urgency, but I think when you get embarrassed like we did last week, you know, it's, and when you get embarrassed like that, you can find out a lot about your team. And, you know, we came in Monday and it was a hard day, but usually when stuff like that happens, you know, guys either give in and because it gets too hard and they try to hide and point fingers a little bit and just go through the motions, or guys try to step it up and get better. And thought we had some good meetings on Monday, but you really don't know until you see guys on the field on Wednesday. And I was very impressed with the character of our team and just some of the, just how the players carried themselves and the way they came out to practice on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And really the way they responded to all of us getting embarrassed.
Well, let's see if they can go to Foxborough and win, because if the Patriots are as bad as everybody says they are now, that they've lost two in a row and three or four, then if the Niners are so good, then they should go beat the Patriots. That's all there is to it. That touchdown counted. I'll tell you what, that's all I needed to see. The Bills are in this game till the end. The Chiefs are not going to blow out the Bills. That's not happening.
When we come back, Scotty, we will get your pick for tonight's Cowboy-Cardinal game. I'll tell you right now, updated top five NFL draft order, Jets, Washington, Giants, Falcons, and Jaguars. So the race to number one and Trevor Lawrence right now still runs through the Jets, Scotty.
When it's done, it'll be the Jets and Jaguars. They'll end up being the two worst teams in the NFL because if you haven't noticed, the Jaguars are getting their ass beat every week now. So the Giants are going to win.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver, hi. 10-7 Bills. I think they look really good so far in the rain in Buffalo. And the Chiefs have the ball, but they haven't been able to do anything against that tough Bills defense who's swarming. But the Chiefs are moving the ball right now up toward midfield. with about just under 10 minutes left in the second. So a lot of football to be played, but a good game so far. And then tonight we have the Cowboys hosting Arizona. You'll be surprised, Carver High. I'm on Arizona tonight. I like Murray and Hopkins. I'm not a believer right now in the Cowboys with all their issues. I'm not a big Andy Dalton fan. I don't think he's like anything I'm scared of. And I think Arizona gets no respect at all. And you can have fun dealing with Hopkins. And I think that's going to be the key to the game for me. If that guy goes off for anything over a buck 10 and a touchdown or two, I think they'll definitely have a shot to win the game.
Yeah, I don't think that this is going to be the shootout that everybody thought it was going to be before Dak got hurt. I think the Cowboys, Scotty, are going to slow this game down tonight. I think that they're going to run the ball a lot more with Zeke Elliott and try to control some clock. They can't play shootout with the Arizona Cardinals, who I'm still waiting to see something from anyway, because they're a bit of a paper tiger for me. They haven't beaten anybody good. I mean, they beat the Jets. They beat the who they beat, Washington at home. They lost to the Lions. I need to see a little bit more from Arizona. Maybe I'll see it tonight. You mentioned Doc Emrick retiring. Very sad day for the NHL. Jason Kokrak wins his first PGA Tour at Shadow.
Who smokes crack?
After 233 starts, Scotty, 233 PGA events for Kokrak, and he finally wins. Good for him, Scotty.
Smoke crack what? On where? Vegas? Shadow Creek's a great golf course. I wanted to say something really fast. I want AC/DC to be the halftime show at the Super Yes. Bowl in Tampa. Bring out Angus Young. Game Time Decisions is next. I'll see you tonight on the bench at 10 East.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.